Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
It's an interesting time of the year right now. Last year was our first time going through summer, and we're all in the midst of lockdown. And so it was just, all the beaches were closed, everyone was gone. Like, I think I come from the States, and a lot of you come from the States or different places, and Taiwan was still under lockdown. So everybody, as the States and other places opened up, people just went home. And so it was just kind of a different thing. But now this year is a little more normal, and it's exciting this time of year. It's here in Taiwan, you're like, you're hoping that the heat will go away and summer will end. But you're also kind of enjoying being able to get out and travel around and not, you know, not be in the hustle and bustle of when the fall hits. So you're kind of in that weird state of waiting for summer to end, looking forward to fall to begin. And then all your friends who've gone away, who've gone back home, especially for like an expat church, all the expats who've gone away, and even the local Chinese who just, kids are out of school, let's go on vacation. And they're all starting to come back. So you're seeing friends, and it's just it's an interesting time. Getting together with friends again. This past week, got together with some of my pastor friends from here in Taiwan, which was a lot of fun. And I think I have a picture of me and the pastors together. So the five Chinese brothers. Someone said, hey, are you guys the five Chinese brothers? Who has? But this is from looking from left to right. That's Pastor Owen from Lighthouse Church, and then Pastor Chang from Victory Church, and then that's me, if you didn't recognize me, with my shorts on. You know, sometimes my legs are so white, just kind of blinding. At least that's what my brothers always tell me when I go home. Peter Kim from right upstairs, having church upstairs. And so if you ever want to go visit and don't want to travel far, just pop on up there. You know, you get tired of my preaching, so just go up there and drop in on Peter. He's a great preacher. And then Peter Juan from the Hope Church. And so it's fun just gathering together once a month. We try to get together over the summer. It's been a little hit and miss as everybody travels. But it, just that fellowship that we have together, is just sweet. I remember one of my pastor friends from Hawaii was asking that, like, which is the special gift of each of the five Chinese brothers? How do you know that the five Chinese brothers book? I know it's like no longer socially politically correct anymore, I think, like, you know, taking it but I grew up with this book, the five Chinese brothers. And so each of the brothers has like a special talent, right? You remember that story, right? So one of them gets falsely accused of murder. Because he could drink all, you know, he had unlimited ability to drink. And so he would drink up he would drink the whole ocean up. So all the fish would be there, and then he'd pick up fish and take them to market, fish that nobody else could get. But one day he drank up all the ocean, and then a little kid ran out and was playing, and he kept trying to tell the kid go back, motion him to go back, and he wouldn't. Finally, he couldn't hold the ocean any longer, more, and he spewed that ocean back out, and that kid drowned. And so he was accused of murdering, drowning this kid, because he didn't tell him his secret power. And so they said, you're sentenced to death. And so they tried to chop off his head, but one Chinese brother had a neck like iron that couldn't be chopped. And then they tried to drown him, and another of the Chinese brothers had legs that stretched, so no matter how deep the water went, he always kept his head above water. Another one was impervious to heat, so when they threw him in an oven to try to kill him, he could hold his breath, so when they put him in, he didn't suffocate. And then the last one, they tried to burn him, but he was unburnable, and so each one had their strengths, and ultimately said, we give up trying to kill you. And so that brother was saved. And sometimes we just need our brothers. I really like this story because I'm one of five Chinese brothers. So, you know, oh, that's us, you know. But I didn't have any of those superpowers. But, you know, in life, we just all need the help of brothers in life. This is just how God's made us and how God has made it to be. The title of today's sermon is With a Little Help from My Friends. And for those of you who are from my generation, you'll recognize those words from a Beatles song. But it's also a biblical principle. And it's found in the section of Philippians that we're going to cover today. So we've been going through the book of Philippians. And let's go to our main scripture for today. Let's do that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So the goal of life, where we find this series, is called Uncommon Joy. And the way to have uncommon joy is to approach life the way that Jesus approached life, to live the way that he guides us to live, and to have his life inside of us. And then we have this uncommon joy that's undefeatable, that where we find joy in every kind of situation. But having that same perspective on life and having the life of Christ inside of us is not an easy thing. You cannot actually do it. We cannot become like Jesus without the help of others, our brothers and sisters. So walking with Jesus, becoming like Christ, having the uncommon joy that Christ promises us, requires you to be in a community and to have these relationships and friendships around you. So we're going to do a quick recap of what we covered thus far, and then we'll jump into today. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, the ways that you teach us, the things you show us. God, I pray that today as we look again into the book of Philippians and we see Paul, some of Paul's key relationships, the ones that really helped him have the kind of uncommon joy that endured and lasted through every kind of situation. God, I pray that you would show us in our lives how to have those same kinds of relationships. So we invite your Holy Spirit now into this place. May you speak to us. May you change and transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we started off in the book of Philippians, going through chapter 1. And really chapter 1 just tells you it's all about Jesus. You want uncommon joy? It all goes back to Jesus. And so in chapter 1, there's 21 times in that chapter, it mentions Jesus. And if you wrote a letter and 21 times you name somebody, that person is going to be pretty important in your life. You look in your emails, and if there's somebody, if one of your emails has someone's name 21 times, it's likely that that person is very important in your life. And Jesus is important in our life. So in chapter 1, here are the five of the key times that Jesus is mentioned. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. So Paul and Timothy define themselves as being in Christ. And he then says, I'm writing this to all the saints who are in Christ. So his audience was all people who are in Christ. And then Paul says, the clincher, he says, for me to live is Christ. And if I die, I just go to heaven to be with Christ. So live or die, it's all about Christ. He goes on then to say, my desire is to depart and be with Christ. If I had a choice, I love this life, but I'd rather be with Jesus. And then he closes out verse 27. He says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, the good news of Christ. This is the goal of our lives, to live lives that are worthy of walking with Christ. Live lives that exemplify that we are, like Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. Like the saints that Paul was talking to in Christ. This is a definition of the Christian life, to live lives worthy of Christ. But in order to do that, we all need help. It is tough to live a life that exemplifies the heart and the character of Jesus. It is tough to live the kind of life that produces uncommon joy inside of us, the kind of joy that comes in every situation. And Jesus never meant for us to live that life on our own. He always meant for us to have the help of others with us. And so we've come to here in chapter 2, and we're going to look at, last Sunday, Armand spoke from the first half of the chapter and just shared with us how unity and humility are key parts to living lives that shine like Christ, and how being like Christ requires that kind of humility and that kind of relationship with each other. Paul now, he challenges in verse 16, he challenges the Philippians, and he says this to them. He says, hold firmly to the word of life. So after sharing about Jesus and what a life in Christ looks like, the humility, the unity, the shining like Christ that life exemplifies, he says, here's what you got to do. You got to hold firmly to the life of Christ. And then on the day of Christ's return, I would be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. Now, as a pastor, when I read this verse, it really jumps out to me. Because my goal being here, the reason I moved here to Taiwan, the reason why I do ministry as a life is because I want to see you have the kind of uncommon joy that only comes from walking with Christ. But I know that it's tough. And so like Paul, I'm saying, hold firmly to the word of life. Walk on with Christ so that at the end of life, when we meet with Jesus, I'll be able to say, man, look at all these folks. Look how they did. And to be proud of you. And as a church, that's what all of the pastors who've been here, that's their heart. And so my challenge to you, Every Nation Taipei, is let's make them proud. I think of people like Pastor Casey and Hope and Kevin and Jalen and leaders like Romel and Flora and so many others who've gone before and some who are still here who've just poured into lives and really tried to help. I know for even myself, you know, we all have our ups and downs, and it's only by others who pour into our lives that we're able to walk on with Christ. And so these who have poured into us as a church, my challenge to you today is let's make them proud. That on that day when we all gather back together again before Christ, we'll be able to say, man, look, I made it. All that time that you poured into my life, all that love that you gave me, I held on to it. The things you taught me, I held on to, and I walked them out, and I held on to the end. That time you spent, all that you invested in me was not in vain. And so we're going to look today at a couple of the guys who, this was Paul's desire for them. And they played that role in Paul's life, and Paul played that role in their lives. He poured into them, and they poured into him. And there are some of the guys, as Paul looks back over his life, he's seeing, these are the guys, you guys are the ones who really helped me hold firmly to the word of life. You're the guys I'm so proud of. In fact, of all the churches that Paul wrote to, the church at Philippi, the Philippian church was the one he was most proud of, the one he was closest to. And so here he's writing to them, and he's teaching them this principle that you really, in order to become like Christ, to live a life with Christ, to discover this uncommon joy that Paul talks about, yeah, you're going to need the help of your friends. You're going to need other people in your life walking with you or willing to walk with you. And so two in particular we're going to look at today, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Everybody say Epaphroditus. It's a great name for your next kid. Verse 19, let's start there. If the Lord Jesus is willing, you know, that's a great way to approach life. I love how Paul says that, if the Lord Jesus is willing. Because, you know, the truth is that we don't know how it's all going to play out. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. All those of you who bought, you know, 2020 day planners and made your goals for the year, and said, this is how my life is. Here's my goals for this year. Here's where I'm going to travel. Here's what I want to see. Here's all my friends I'm going to go visit. And then COVID hit, right? Who predicted that? And like, you know, that's not in any of my day planners. So it's like my goals for 2020, you know, have a major pandemic and just get locked down. I want to spend a whole lot of time with myself. You know, that's just not, you know, we just don't know what life will bring. And Paul is recognizing that. I don't care how spiritual you are. Life always just throws us curveballs. And so I love how he starts this out. If the Lord Jesus is willing, and we should always live with that kind of hand. Lord, in the end, it's all in your hand. It doesn't prevent us from working hard, from making plans. Paul said, man, I work harder than everybody. I ran this life like a prize fighter, training myself, disciplining myself to make the most of life. But he also said, but every step of the way, I always, even though I'm putting all my strength into it, I'm also holding it with a loose hand. And as you mature in life, this is something I want to encourage you to learn to do. To throw all your strength into your plans. To make the best plans that you can make, to pray over them, to talk about them, to chart them out. But then also to hold those plans with an open hand. And say, God, whatever happens, you're in control, and I'm going to work my best, but I'm going to adapt to whatever you bring my way. And then he goes on to say, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then we can, then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. So he said, I'm sending you Timothy. because in verse 20, it says, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. It says, Paul is saying, there's nobody else. Of all the guys that I've worked with, Timothy stands out. He stands apart from all the others. And Paul had a lot of different people that he worked with. He started so many different churches and went on all these mission trips. And would take people with him. Oftentimes, teams of people would go with him as he goes on these mission trips and starts new churches and opens up new cities to the gospel. This was in the early days after Jesus died. And Christianity was still in its startup. In fact, the church in Philippi, this Philippian church, was the very first church in Europe. The first Western church. All the other churches prior to this had been in Asia. And so Christianity was just making its way. Sometimes we think of Christianity as a Western religion. But the truth is, it started in Asia and then it spread. And so this is the first Western church. And Paul, more than anybody in church history, Paul was the one who was most responsible for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ into new nations and new territories. And so he would take teams of guys and raised up so many churches and groups of leaders. But he says, of all the guys I've worked with, of all that have come to me, Timothy, there's nobody like him. And here's why, verse 21, he says, because all others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. So genuine, Paul had a genuine care for people. Why? Because he had a heart like Christ. He had the heart of Jesus for people. And the heart of Jesus loves us regardless of who we are, what we've done. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he didn't say, now this is only for people of a certain religion or people of certain economic class or people who are a certain maturity or people who I just like. He died for everyone, from the worst murderer to the most religious person. Jesus died for them all because he realized that our religion, our morality, none of that could get us to heaven. Only through his death could we get to heaven. Only through his death could we be reconciled back to the relationship with God that God intended. And so Jesus died for everyone. And that love that Jesus had, the care that Jesus had, the kind of love that for even people who were his enemies, he would die for them. That's the kind of love that Timothy had. And that's why Paul said, I'm confident in sending him to you. Because I know that no matter what's going on there, he's going to love for you. He's going to care for you. He's going to serve selflessly. Because that's the love of Jesus. Whatever situations that might confront Timothy, Paul knew he will do what Jesus would do. I don't know if he had a what would Jesus do bracelet or not, but he lived the life. How many guys, is that? And that's an old thing, right? Did anybody here wear a what would Jesus do bracelets? You have a few here who wear. How many of you haven't even heard of a what would Jesus do bracelet or never seen one, I have pictures here of what would Jesus do. So what would Jesus do bracelets? They started out as little friendship bracelets. There was this youth pastor. We're going to give you the story. Everybody, you ready for the story of what would Jesus do bracelets? 1990. This is back in 1990. So youth pastor in Michigan, where my mom and dad got married, she was trying to help her students to ask themselves in every situation, what would Jesus do? And so she thought, I'm good. And at the time, these friendship bracelets were really popular, with little beads on them, different colors. And so she said, we're going to make this bracelet for them. And couldn't spare the whole word, so did WWJD. Now you can find WWJD bracelets like on Amazon, Alibaba, Walmart, everywhere. They sell them. They're just everywhere. It moved from the little friendship things to, knitted ones. And now they have silicone ones. But they didn't start there. I think it started with Jesus. So Jesus, we have, I think, the one that Jesus wore. His what would Jesus do bracelet. Do you have that picture? Did we lose it? So there you go. So it's originated with Jesus. No, not really. Actually, where that originated from was even earlier, back in the late 1800s, there was a book that was written called In His Steps. And this was a guy in for all the Americans from Topeka, Kansas. This guy was pastoring a small church. And he started this series of trying to help people. To every time that in every situation, he wanted to challenge his church. In every situation that comes your way, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Evaluate every thought that you have, every reaction that you have, every decision that you make throughout the day. What would Jesus do? And so he started this series of sermons, and he ran this sermon, and it just became so wildly popular. He would take different situations and put these people in this situation and say, have them ask themselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? And so his sermons were then ended up being put into a book. It was published in 1896 called In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? And actually, that's what inspired that youth pastor to make the What Would Jesus Do? But this book has sold over 50 million copies. It's actually one of the best-selling books of all time. Because so many people found how life transformative it was to simply ask yourself, what would Jesus do? In every situation, to try to align your life with Jesus. In His Steps, Charles Sheldon. That book, you can still get it today. It's powerful. And just helping people ask themselves, what is it like to be like Timothy? To care for people, to approach life the way that Jesus approached life. Paul said, this guy, I can trust him in every situation. Goes on into verse 22, Philippians 2, verse 22 says, but you know how Timothy has proven himself. He says, you don't need my recommendation. You've seen him. He's proven this. Like a son with his father, he has served me in preaching the good news. And I love how Paul relates Timothy to being like this father-son relationship that they had together. And that really is just one of the most powerful relationships. Again and again, people do social studies and on the power and the impact of father-son relationships and how a good father-son relationship can transform your emotional state, can transform your view of yourself, can transform the way it sets the way that you identify to other people, your confidence in facing life, your success in life. All these things are so strongly shaped by that father-son relationship. We see it throughout literature. The whole Star Wars movie franchise was built on this relationship, the father-son relationship. So many of the Marvel movies are about parent, son, father, son, father, daughter relationships, because they're so life shaping and so universal that when they make a movie about that, everybody identifies with it. Of course, you can see I like action kind of movies, sci-fi and action. But you know that's a theme and a principle that runs all through life. That everybody understands the power of that relationship. And so Paul is saying, Timothy and I, we had a powerful father-son relationship. And it was a blessing to, he drank in everything that I shared with him. I have nobody who's as closely related to me as he is. From the same perspective, the same heart that we have. And especially in preaching the good news. And we have to ask ourselves, who's your Timothy or who's your Paul in your life? In a spiritual sense, is there someone who's helping you in your walk with Christ like a father to a son? Are there people that you're helping in life like a father or mother to a son or daughter? Because this is, Paul is saying, if you want uncommon joy in your life, if you want to be able to walk with Christ, these are the kinds of friendships that you need. These are the kinds of relationships that you need in life. We all need a little help from our friends. You're going to need a Paul in your life. You're going to need Timothy's in your life. And so it's a good time as we head into the fall. This is kind of a good, we do that mid-year fast because, you know, there's sort of a break as you come into a fall. It's sort of like life restarts again. And so I'd encourage you as you do this restart, as you head into the fall, to take a moment and say, do I have these kind of relationships in my life? And to not just wait for them to happen, to pursue those kinds of relationships. I need someone just to speak into my life in terms of my becoming more like Christ. Is there someone who can help me with that? And is there someone I can help with, like a parent to a child? Then it goes to the second one, Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus is really, this is the only place in the Bible that he's mentioned. He's not a big famous name. He's not, yeah, like we said, he's not the guy that everybody names their kids after. But he was important to Paul. And this is what it says in verse 25. It says, meanwhile, I thought I should send Epaphroditus back to you. It says, eventually I want to send Timothy back to you. But meanwhile, I'm going to send Epaphroditus back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. And he was your messenger to help me in my need. And so here he lines out, here's what Epaphroditus was to me. And we all need people like Epaphroditus in our lives. He was a brother to me. It means we walk together. We have this common bond. And we need people who just we're common with, where we share life with. We walk as brothers with. We all need that. Just the folks that we walk with. And then he says, he's my co-worker. So not only do we just have this great relationship and hang out together. I love my brothers. I love that I get to go back home and to hang out with the other four of the five Chinese brothers. You know, just something about being with brothers. But then there's co-workers. And are there people that you can partner together with to accomplish things, to really make an impact with your life for the kingdom of God, to make a difference? That's why I love I talk about every week about organizations like SALT, where it's people coming together to make a difference. Like this church, people coming together. I love our family ministries where they come together to, let's just help families and help make better families as a church. Let's gather together and let's do that together. Our college students, they gather together and say, let's help college students. And as a church, this is what we do. We work together. We co-labor together. And Paul is saying, Epaphroditus, he's my guy. Not only did we have great times of eating and fellowship together, but we got stuff done together. And then he says, he's my fellow soldier. And that's another level. Like each of these is another level. And fellow soldier, that's going to battle together, going to war together. Me and Epaphroditus, we've gone to war together. When you read Paul's story, his battles for the gospel were like real. Like he ended up being left for dead multiple times, going through tremendous persecution, physical harm, beatings, imprisonments. It was a war for him. Even other Christians would oppose Paul and criticize him. For Paul, it was a war, and Epaphroditus was one of those guys who stood with him, who went to war with him in his toughest times, came alongside. In the times when it might be most threatening to both, they would just jump in there with him, risk life together. Do you have guys who would risk life with you together? And then he was his messenger, a guy that he could entrust with his most important messages. So I can trust this guy because he's going to say the same thing. He's going to have the same heart with me. I can trust him with my most important messages. And then minister. That word minister is like pastor. He was a pastor to me. He was a guy who ministered to my needs. We ministered together. He helped me. Like he saw into my brokenness. He did what pastors do. He saw into my brokenness and he ministered to that in me. And so he's saying, Epaphroditus, all of us, we need Epaphroditus's in our lives. The brothers and sisters who come alongside, who we can hang out together with, who we can get stuff done with, who we can go to war with, the guys who we trust with our most important messages. It's like when the guys go to war, and we always see this with fighter pilots and bombers are going into battle, or soldiers, and they carry a picture of their wife or their kids, and when it looks like they might die, they take it to the best friend, their closest soldier, and say, hey, if I die, would you take this back to my wife and kids? Tell them I love them. Right? The most important messages, and then we have people who minister to us. They're just guys who, when we're down, when we're broken, when we're in our moments of failure, to come alongside and really encourage us and speak into our lives and challenge us. So that's Epaphroditus. Verse 26 says, I am sending him because he has been longing to see you, and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. So Epaphroditus, he came with a message from the Philippians to help Paul. Came with some money to help support Paul, because Paul was in prison at this time, and the Philippian church wanted to help support him, because in those days, the jailers didn't take care of you. Your friends had to send food, and whatever. If you got sick, they had to take care of you. All the jailer was there for was to make sure you didn't escape. He didn't care if you died. And so the Philippian church wanted to reach out and help take care of Paul. And they sent Epaphroditus to carry the money to because they knew that he would take care of them. But then Epaphroditus got sick, like really sick, almost died. And so Paul is now saying, you know, I'm sending him back to you because he felt so bad that you heard that he had gotten sick. Now, you know, that's an uncommon kind of a love. But I also wonder, some commentators say that really what Paul is doing here is Epaphras probably just got homesick, and Paul just wanted to say it in a nice way. Because he's sick, he's caught over, you know, being almost dying, and like, I just want to go home. And in the old days, the old Paul, like when he started the Philippian church, remember how he started the church? He started that church because he and Barnabas used to travel together, another guy, and minister. But Barnabas wanted to bring his nephew along, Mark. And Mark had been with him on some mission trips before, but when things got bad and persecution came and opposition arose, Mark, he left the scene. He like bagged. And so when Barnabas is saying, hey man, I've been working with Mark and he's ready, he wants to join us again, Paul's like, no way. I don't want nothing to do with Mark. You know, he's not worthy of going on the team with us. And so they got into such a big fight between Paul and Barnabas over Mark that they actually split ways. And so the original trip that Paul was supposed to go on and the churches he was supposed to visit, Barnabas went there and Paul went a different direction. And that's how Paul ended up in Philippi. Instead of staying in Asia, God called him all the way to Europe. And so this church was birthed out of that kind of conflict, out of Paul's like, I don't put up with weakness. I don't have time for it. But all of a sudden now here with Epaphras is feeling like I want to go home. And you know, you can say he's just homesick. What does Paul say? I'm going to send him. He's not saying, oh man, he's so weak. He just wants to go home. You know, he doesn't say he's homesick. I'm kicking him out. He's no good for me anymore. He's just so broken up. What does he say? He loves you guys so much. And I love how Paul does that. Sometimes we just have to have a little bit of grace and gentleness in people's lives. And to see their lives through the eyes of grace, love, and humility, forgiveness. We just need a little forgiveness for people. And I love how Paul's grown that way. That's what happens as you walk with Jesus. We just become more forgiving, more loving, more gracious in the ways we talk about people, in the ways that we treat people. Paul and Timothy were, you know, these two brothers. Timothy was the guy who was, you know, Paul was saying, hey, don't quit letting people despise you because of your youth. And drink a little bit of wine for your stomach. He had this upset stomach because he was always just nervous about stuff. He was just a young guy. Paul was always trying to bolster up Timothy. He didn't like slap him down and say, oh man, let's get someone else in there. He said, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I know sometimes, you know, you're just sick and you got to be on the sidelines for a bit. Just drink a little bit of wine. It'll help settle your stomach. You'll be okay. Paul just became this gentle guy. From the guy who like, man, I'm going to charge into hell. I don't care if they stone me and I don't care if they beat me, throw me into prison, whatever. We're just going to go. You beat me, you throw me into prison. I'm just going to sing worship songs. That was Paul. I don't care what happens to me. I'm going forward. And Paul would say, man, even being in prison was just another opportunity for me to preach the gospel. That's Paul. Mm-hmm. But now with Timothy, he's saying, hey, you know, it's okay. Just drink a little wine, you know, and then get, you know, just chill, take a recover. Don't worry about these guys who are all coming against you. And Epaphras, it's okay. If you're feeling bad, you need to go home. We'll send you home. That's the kind of church we want to be. Church that loves, supports. Verse 27 about Epaphras. And he certainly was ill. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him and also on me so that I would not have one sorrow after another. Jump down to verse 29. It says, welcome him in the Lord's love and with great joy and give him the honor that people like him deserved. For he risked his life for the work of Christ and he was at the point of death while doing for me what you couldn't do from far away. It says, welcome him with the Lord's love. And that's That's what we want to mark our church, is the Lord's love. That anybody who comes here, we welcome them with the Lord's love. And the question is, what is the Lord's love? What does that look like? I want to close today by just going back over, because Paul here lines out so clearly what the Lord's love is. And it's found in earlier in the chapter. And actually, this passage, Amran shared it last Sunday. I think it's worth going over again and just reading. I just want to read it to you again. Because when a song is good, you can play it over and over again. And this was like a famous, at that time, just a famous hymn, a song that they would sing together. And it was famous because of how it really portrayed the love of God. And so this is when Paul talks about welcome Epaphras with the Lord's love. This is what he's saying. So you think of your favorite Christian song. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So just in the same way that Epaphroditus, he risked his life almost to the point of death, and Paul so many times faced death for the sake of the gospel, Jesus laid down his life for the sake of the gospel. Jesus gave himself, humbled himself, and he calls us to walk in that same way, to humble ourselves, to be willing to give our lives so that others could know Jesus. You know, and even in the day and age that we live now, there are people around the world who are laying down their lives for the sake of the gospel. And you and I, let's be a people who are willing to inconvenience ourselves a little bit. Give a little bit of our time, of our energy, in order to help others know the love of God. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, today as we come before you, we are so thankful for the men and women in our lives. The Pauls in our lives who are like fathers and mothers to us, who we open up our lives to and who mentor us and lead us into loving you more and walking with you, and for the Timothys in our lives that we pour into, who become, Lord, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord to us, that we can trust. People like Epaphras, Lord God, Epaphroditus, Lord, may we have Epaphrodituses in our lives, men and women, Lord God, who are brothers and co-workers and fellow soldiers, people that we can trust, people who minister to us in our times of need. Father, I pray that most of all, we would open our hearts to you, the one who gave his life for us, who humbled himself for us, and God, that we become more like you. Today, Lord God, we just say, we lay aside our pride, our selfishness, our self-centeredness, and we say, Lord God, let me be a Paul to others. Let me be a Timothy to others. Let me be an Epaphroditus to others. Most of all, Lord, may you fill me with your love. May I be a follower of you. May I have the same mind that was in you. So that like Timothy, I could love others the way that you love them. And I pray that you do that in us as a church, Lord God. That we would be a reflection of your love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.